Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 4. The book of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 4. We are continuing with this wonderful book where the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing a letter to the church of Corinth. He is trying to encourage them. And as he has written a hard letter before, correcting all their behaviors, wrote a second letter that's not inspired, that was a little bit more pointed. But as many of the churches having a desire to do what's right, the Apostle Paul is sending this book with trying to defend his apostleship, but he is also teaching them about serving God even in the hard times. By the way, it does get hard. Things still happen. The rain falls upon the just and the unjust alike. And yet, we have to move forward. The Apostle Paul takes special mention of this in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4. Now, we often call our Wednesday night service the most encouraging service of the week. And I believe that it would be very apt for this message as well, because we all need encouragement. We all need that help to take another step. We all need that time where we want to move forward for the Lord, even though it seems hard. And we find our way to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. And if you don't mind, look with me in verse number 8. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered from unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raiseth up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is going to take some time to explain his motive. Why do you keep going, Paul? Why do you keep taking another step? What motivates you to keep going with everything that's going on to you? We find a two-phrase answer, a phrase in one verse and another phrase in another verse. If you don't mind, I'd like for you to underline these two phrases and then tie them together in your mind. Notice the first phrase that we find. We find in verse number 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 11. Notice the phrase, Jesus' sake, Jesus' sake. Then if you don't mind looking with me in verse number 15, 4 your sakes. So in verse number 11, for Jesus' sake. Verse number 15, for your sakes. And for this, what we'd like to do is title this message with those two phrases, for Jesus' sake, for your sake. For Jesus' sake, for your sakes. And with the Lord's help, we're going to explore this passage and pray for the encouragement that Paul is trying to explain that he has. How does he keep going in the hard days? How does he keep going when everything's falling apart? How does he keep going when nothing's working out? For Jesus' sake, for your sakes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you today, we're just asking that you would open up this passage in a special way, that you would grant us some special encouragement from your word tonight. Lord, without a doubt, there's someone in here that is hurting. Without a doubt, there's someone in here that's feeling the pressure of life. And Lord, they need some relief. They need a reason to keep going forward. They don't want to quit, but they're looking for a reason to keep moving forward. Lord, I'm asking that you would give special encouragement tonight from your precious word, that you could just lighten the load, that you could give someone the correct motive, that you could help them take the next step, and that you would be glorified through the decisions and through the actions that are done because of our motive being correct. Lord, fill me with your precious spirit. I'm conscious that I cannot do your work, that the work that needs to be accomplished can only be done by you. The only thing that I could be is a vessel used in your hands. Lord, give us grace even now. Glorify your own name. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Without a doubt, the Apostle Paul is in his darkest hour. That's kind of what we see all throughout the book of 2 Corinthians, is Paul in his darkest hour. And yet, in Paul in his darkest hour, we find this to be a very encouraging book. That here's Paul under duress, under distress. Paul, who is needing to be delivered from his circumstances, for his health. People are searching to kill him. Things are falling apart all around him. In fact, think about what Paul is going through right now. That where he is standing from a human perspective, all the Gentile churches that he had a hand in starting is now collapsing. If he was to die right now in human terms, he would look like an utter failure. The churches of Galatia have switched to a different gospel, teaching people that they could lose their salvation. The church of Corinth has been in rebellion, and now, even now, many of the church are questioning Paul's apostleship and authority. Inside of the city of Ephesus, where Paul was staying there for a long time, 3 years, and getting a good work going, the city was in an uproar and were literally trying to kill him and hunt him, and he had to leave for his own sake. Now he's in the city of Troas, nigh unto death, sick unto death, thinking he's going to die, and others around him are pretty much thinking he's going to die. He's been waiting to hear news from Titus, and Titus hasn't showed up. He is at his darkest hour. Why doesn't he just give up? It'd be easy just to say, I'm done, stop eating, close his eyes, turn over, and never open them again. Just to give up. What keeps him going? How does he get up another day? How does he take another step? How does he still want to move forward after all of this? For Jesus' sake and for your sakes. If you don't mind, let's examine this text and let's dive in a little bit more to understand why this motive was so important. The first thing I want to show you is dying to self. Dying to self. One of the biggest hindrances we have is ourselves. And when we're in times of distress, when we're in times of pressure, our flesh likes to announce that it's alive and protest and do everything it can to keep us from going forward spiritually. May I remind you that there is no victory without the building, and there is no victory without the battling. That building and battling is the hallmark of the Christian life. There is no easy way to serve God. Now, your flesh gets in the way of that victory. The answer is that you have to die to yourself in order to see the victory. You're going to have to tell your flesh no when it's screaming, stop, don't go anymore, I can't handle anymore, it's too much. You have to die to self and say, we're going forward anyways. You cannot allow that flesh to live. Notice, if you don't mind, Paul begins to describe this victorious life. But notice here, we're going to see a contrast of several statements. That he said, this is a true statement, but this is the reality of it. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 8. We are troubled on every side. That's a true statement. Everywhere around Paul, he is troubled. He is feeling the pressure. But notice this. We are troubled, yet not distressed. We are not distressed. So many times when the pressure is on and people's plans are spoiled, they go into frustration. It's not working out the way that I should. It's not the way that I dreamed. I don't think there's a single one of us who think that we are at the place of life that we dreamed about. All of us look back and say, this was not in my plans. This was not in the cards. This is not what I expected for myself when I was this age. I expected to have more money. I expected to have more happiness. I expected to have a car that I wasn't praying that would keep running. I expected more. You say, well, what about those who have got money? Those people who've got money are just as miserable. I thought I would be happy if I had all this money. I thought this would solve my problems if I had this money. Every single one of us are in a place where we never thought we would be at. This is not how we thought life would turn out. We were expecting rainbows and puppy dogs. We were expecting kittens just rubbing us all the time and waking up and being happy and everything fuzzy and nice. But life is not that way. And when our plans get spoiled, our flesh wants to throw a fit like a spoiled child. It wants to holler and complain and say it's not fair and it's not right and this isn't how it's supposed to turn out and I wanted it to be better. Paul says we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. I'm not at the place where I'm allowing my panic to overreach me. I'm not at the place where I'm throwing a fit because it didn't turn out the way that I wanted to do. How can you do that? I trust God. I trust God that he knows what he's doing. He's the one who put me in this position. He's the one that allowed these circumstances. He's the one who knows what he's doing. And so whereas I may feel the pressure, I don't have to be distressed. I don't have to be in my mind panicking, wanting to give up, throwing fits. We're troubled on every side, but not distressed. Notice another statement. We are perplexed. We are perplexed. The idea of perplexed carries the idea of not knowing which way to turn. I don't know which way to go. I'm confused. I see all these options and they're topsy-turvy. I can't see the end of these results. I can't see the end of this path. I'm perplexed. I don't know which way. I am lost. I just don't know which way to turn. He says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. The idea of despair carries the idea that I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss. I don't know which way to go. I'm not there. I may be perplexed. I may be confused. I may scratch my head. But guess what? I am not in despair. I'm not at a place where I say I don't know where to go to, because I do. I go to Jesus. I run up to him. I don't know where God's going to lead me next, but I could trust him. I don't know what thing is going to come up next. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I could trust him. I am not in despair. So we are troubled on every side. The idea of troubled is pressured and afflicted. The idea of distressed is be placed in a narrow space. He says, I have this pressure here, but I'm not confined to a narrow space. I'm troubled, but I'm not distressed. I'm perplexed. I don't know where things are going to come, but I'm not at a loss. I know I could go to the Lord. God's given me a way of escape. I just keep following after him. I could trust him. Notice he goes on, verse number 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecuted, but not forsaken. We understand persecution. It's the affliction that comes on us from outside sources. The idea of forsaken is abandoned. He says, we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. I'm not abandoned. Jesus is still on my side. Think about a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown in the fiery furnace. They were persecuted, but they were not abandoned. When the king looked inside, there was one like the Son of God with them. Jesus was with them the whole time. He says, I'm persecuted, but not forsaken. Jesus hasn't left me. He promised he was going to be with me. And even though everyone else is against me, Jesus is still with me. He says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The idea of cast down pictures stuff being flung to the ground. Cast down, specifically over and over to the ground. Over, as soon as you get up, thrown down again. Get up, thrown down again. Get up, thrown down again. He says, but listen here, but I'm not destroyed. God allows me to get up again. They knock me down, I get back up again. They knock me down and I get up again. So this is what Paul is saying I'm currently at. I'm troubled on every side, but I'm not distressed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, but not forsaken. I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. How can he say that? Because Paul was able to trust God and die to self. As we die, Christ lives within me. Notice in verse number 10. It says, always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. What does this mean? Well, since Jesus died for me, the least I can do is allow him to live through me. Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross for my sins. I'm going to mess up my life, so I might as well move out of the way and let him live his life through me. I'm dying to self. I'm removing me. I die to my ambitions, my goals, my desires, what I think should happen. And I trust him. God, whatever you want to do with me, you're allowed to do with me. If you want more persecution on me, that's fine. If you want more pain in me, that's fine. I trust you. You manifest yourself. You get your own work accomplished. It's not me, it's you. And I could trust you to do your work, whatever you see fit. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto the death for Jesus' sake. Delivered unto death carry the idea here that we need to die to self for Jesus' sake. We die to self so Jesus can get the glory and honor. We die to self so Jesus can get his will accomplished. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So notice in verse 10, manifest in our body. Verse 11, made manifest in our mortal flesh. It carries the idea, I die to control of my body. I die to my will, my desires, my thoughts, my feelings, my ambitions, my goals. And Jesus is allowed to use my body however he sees fit. And he can manifest, make apparent, make show his glory through me. How did Paul keep going? He says it's for Jesus' sake. Whatever he sees fit to do, this is what God put in my life. And I could trust him that he's going to get his glory. He's going to get his will accomplished. I'm going to let him do it instead of fight against him and whine and complain and get in the way of what God is doing. I can trust him. This is the secret of that victorious Christian life. Verse number 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. So I die to self, so that way Jesus can work in you. Notice, if you don't mind, a second thing. Not only dying to self, but raised up by Jesus. Raised up by Jesus. Look with me in verse number 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. The present suffering may lead to death. So what? Because Christ lives, this is not the end for us. Death is not the end of the story. We have a home in heaven. They can't threaten us with heaven. For those who believe in evolution, those who follow an atheistic path, for this world, this is the best they have. They die and become worm food. They become more minerals to go into the soil. That means all that they have to live is the here and now. This is why preaching like this is so confusing to them. Why would you limit yourself? Why would you limit your goals, your ambitions, if this is all you have? This is the best life you have. Why would you waste it limiting yourself with what you could do? Now, if you had a view that there's no life after this, that's a valid question. To all of them, we're wasting our life. I heard a missionary talk to a native once. He was serving, and he had a native, very intelligent guy, who struck up conversations. They became friends over the years. Finally, the native said, missionary, I got a question. Have you ever thought about what if heaven's not true? You've moved over here. You've wasted all of your life, spent all of your life and family. You could have been in America, but instead you've been living here with us. You ever think about if there's no heaven, you've just wasted all of your life? The missionary says, to be honest, I've thought about that a time or two. But to be on the other side of that, if I'm right and you're wrong and there is a heaven, I may have wasted some time here, but you've wasted all of eternity. You see, we have something bigger to look towards. We have a bigger comparison. Death is just not the end for us. We have something beyond here, and we have a master to please. And we have to realize that God can allow something to happen here, but this is only temporary. Notice again what we see in verse number 13. We have the same spirit according to faith, as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. In verse number 13, it is quoting Psalm 116 in verse 10. I have believed, therefore I've spoken. Paul echoes that, and he says, I have believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. This is an appropriate psalm because the psalmist in 116 is under great persecution. He's in dire straits. Paul is quoting a psalmist and saying, I know what he's going through. This is something the psalmist claimed when he was in the midst of everything, that he said, I believed, and therefore I've spoken. So I believe that God is real, and therefore I'm behaving like God is real. By the way, this was the same exact quote that Jonah said in the belly of the well when he's talking to God, saying, you know what, I learned my lesson. I believe you're true. I'll go do what you tell me to do. I believe there's something more to this. The psalmist's faith did not fail him, even though circumstances were overwhelming. I can trust God. Notice, if you don't mind, it goes on in verse number 14. Knowing that he which raiseth up the Lord shall raise us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Because Jesus lives, we have the hope that we too will be risen again. Life is not over at death for us. We have an eternal future to look to. We have something that we can look forward to. And because he lives, we have a message for the entire world. And as people get to know Jesus as Savior, we have something to testify and glory over. This is a big deal that we have a temporary world, but we have something eternal to look forward to. Notice verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Paul says, listen, I have a message to tell you, hallelujah, that Jesus saves. And I want to present this message to you. And the more people that get saved, it's more of us that's giving glory to God on the other side. I'm looking forward to all those people giving glory. It is worth it if I have to go through pain, if I have to go through suffering, if I have to go through these hard times to be able to give more people the gospel, it's worth it. If that's what it takes for your sake to give you the gospel, then I'm willing to suffer it because I'm only here for a little while. My hope is not how great of a world I could live in now. My hope is how great of a world that will be on the other side. I'm not living for the now. I'm not trying to make the now more comfortable. I'm looking forward to spending eternity glorifying God with all those up in heaven. That's my goal. That's what I'm looking forward to. For Jesus' sake and for your sake, I'm willing to suffer these things. For Jesus' sake and for your sake, I'm willing to be spent and used. For Jesus' sake and your sake, I'm willing to be persecuted. I'm willing to be perplexed. I'm willing to go through all of these things that I could die to self and let Jesus use me in the midst of all of this for Jesus' sake and for your sakes. If you don't mind, one more thing here, and this is big. We see, starting off with the idea of dying to self, and that's the secret of the victorious Christian life, is dying to self. We see the idea of raised up by Jesus, that Jesus is going to raise us up. That's our great hope, that we're not going to stay dead. He's going to raise us up. We're looking forward to something better than this world has to offer. But one more thing, and again, this is big. Our light affliction. Our light affliction. Notice in verse 16. For which cause, so because of all of this, we faint not. Remember, the word faint in the Bible is a nice, kind Bible way of saying quit. Because of all of this, we don't quit. Because Jesus is able to do a work and we trust him, we don't quit. Because he's going to raise me up and I'm just going to look for something better than this, I don't quit. Because I realize Jesus is doing a work, I don't quit. Because more people are going to get saved, I don't quit. For this cause, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Our outward man may suffer, it may perish, it may hurt, but the good thing is that God gives us brand new mercies every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Notice what it said again. I want you to catch this. That though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This is why it's important to live only one day at a time. We only have enough grace. We only have enough power. Only enough renewness for today. I don't have enough to live for today and tomorrow. I don't have enough to live for today and next year. I only have enough power, grace, and God's strength for today. And tomorrow I get brand new grace, strength, and mercy for that day. So many times we borrow from problems from tomorrow. We borrow from worries for tomorrow. And we worry about things in the future when it's none of our business. God just wants us to handle what do I need to do today. And he gives me enough strength to handle what needs to be done for today. For today, he gives me grace. For today, he renews that inner man. He renews me. He strengthens me. He gives me mercy. He gives me grace every day. Then tomorrow, I get brand new strength, new mercy. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. You know, that's helpful. If we can learn just to concentrate on today, we'd be better off. Amen. My only job is to make sure I'm in God's will right now. I don't have to worry about tomorrow, next week, next year. Am I in God's will right now? Am I going to him for my strength today? Why are we having such a hard time? Because we're not going to him for our new strength. Well, I asked God for strength last week. Yeah, but that was last week. I need it today. I need it today. I need God to work in me today. I need to die to self today. I need his power today. I need his mercy today. I need his wisdom today because I don't have enough for myself every day. Notice it goes on. Verse 17. For our light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. May I remind you that no matter what you go through, it's only for a moment. And the light of eternity, it's a light affliction. You know, you can handle anything for a moment. No matter how bad it is, if you know that this too shall pass, as long as you know it's temporary, you can endure it. If you know that eternity is a long time, I could deal with an infirmity now because it's just for a moment. I heard a preacher say his favorite verse was, "This too shall pass." It didn't come to stay. It's going to pass. For a moment, my light affliction. Now remember, when you are going through it, it doesn't seem light. We often joke, it doesn't matter what type of surgery someone's having. Every surgery is a major surgery if it's happened to you. But in the light of eternity, your biggest pain is a light affliction. When you compare it to what Jesus did on the cross and what he suffered on the cross, light affliction. Now, some of us are pretty good at overreacting. You stub your toe and the end of the world is happening. That the sky is falling, it's all going to end. You get bad news in the mailbox. Oh! You get an unexpected bill. Oh! Someone's mean to you. Oh! But it's just a light affliction, and it's but for a moment. Someone's mean to you. Light affliction, but for a moment. You know something about getting a good night's sleep and waking up next morning to find God's mercy and I could deal with everything again tomorrow? I may run out of strength for today, but God's mercies is new every morning. You say, well, I suffer through pain and the pain doesn't go away. Yeah, God will give you enough strength to deal with that pain today. But it's a light affliction and it's only for a moment. There is an expiration date on your pain. It may be your grave date, but there's an expiration date. And after that, there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears, but for a moment. And then when you're halfway through the millennial kingdom, you look back and say, it was nothing. Why did I make such a big deal out of it? And when we get to eternity, we won't even think about it. It's not even a blip on your radar. It's but for a moment. Remember, all of this is to kind of put things in perspective for us. Because Paul is going through some legitimately hard times. How do you keep going? Just for a moment. God gives me enough strength to handle what I need to today. God gives me enough mercy to handle what I need today. He renews my spirit to give me what I need for today. So often we give into the flesh and we start panicking. We get in distress. We start thinking it's all over and we overreact. By the way, it is a horrible testimony to those who are watching us because our God is with us every moment of the day and can give us the strength we need. And anytime that we're panicking and losing our mind, it's because we did not go to God to give us the strength and mercy that we needed. It's a bad testimony. It is during those times we're hurting the most that God wants to do the most important work because people know that we're hurting. And they say, how can you stand this? How can you smile? How can you be cheerful? How can you live in victorious life? Because of Jesus renews my strength every day, gives me mercy. I can trust him. Those people say, your God's real. I want to get to know that God. We will always be more effective witness when we're hurting and responding well than we ever could on good days. Because we prove that our God is real. People are not looking for a God who's real when the sun is shining. People are looking for a God that's real in our darkest hour. And we can trust him. Realizing that anything that we suffer is just for a moment. And if it goes beyond what we would think a moment, he gives us mercy and grace every day. And he gives me enough grace to handle my pain, my mind, my persecutions, my afflictions, my adversaries. Notice as he continues to wrap this up in verse number 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What you're going through just for a moment, remember that God is going to use it to give you more, or for a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The things that you're going through at the moment, God wants to use for eternity's sake. Don't ruin it by giving up on your testimony. Don't ruin it by complaining and freaking out in your mind. Don't ruin it by just giving into the flesh. It's during those times we die to flesh. Say, no, you can't have your way. Jesus, I need you now. And God allows it so we could witness to others and be a testimony to others. And God says, you know what? I allowed this burden to happen. I allowed this issue. I allowed this hard time to hit you so that way that person can get saved. So that person can trust in me. So that person can believe in me. Because you never suffer in silence. And you never suffer alone. People watch you. And people know. And if you've given into the flesh and retreated into your cave, you can't be much of a glory in your cave. Verse number 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, we need to live with eternity's values in view. We need to look with spiritual eyes and see that God is trying to do a work and move beyond. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I feel people are against me. We need to look beyond that and see the God of the circumstances. See, there's a God on the throne who's trying to do something. We need to keep our eyes on the eternal and see that it's just for a moment. That it's just a light affliction. And that this too shall pass. That God can give us grace. And that God has got a plan. And we may not know what the plan is, but God knows what he's doing. Paul, how can you go? You're in your darkest hour. Why don't you just turn over in your bed and just give up? For Jesus' sake and for your sake. I'm living for eternity. I have to die to self. I can't allow my flesh to give in and scream and holler and throw a fit. I cannot allow my flesh to be in charge. I have to keep my eyes on him. I need to realize that God gives me grace, that God gives me victory. I can trust him. And that when I start looking at things, I realize that God's got something better for me than this earth here. And that the most I can go through is a light affliction. All I can go through is just for a moment. I need to get the right perspective on this and look at eternity. And I can trust God. Can you trust God? Are you a type of person that starts panicking because the sky is falling? What takes you? What does it take for you to start losing your mind? In fact, let's use plain speaks. What does it take for you to start losing your testimony? That you stop responding well. You stop dealing with others well. You start to get grumpy. You start to push people away. You start to focus on yourself. What does it take for you to reach those points? Those are the points that you need to die to self. It's so hard, I know, because your flesh is alive, but you have to die to self. You have to get your eyes off you and get your eyes on Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you. I need your strength because you've got a plan. You've got an action and we can trust you. Maybe you are a type of person that says, I panic well. I'm an expert panicker. I'm a type of person that it's very easy for me to lose my testimony. It's very easy for me to get grumpy and yell. You know what you need to do is go to God and say, God, I need your help and I need your grace. God will give you enough grace for today to get by. You, on your part, you have to on purpose die to self. You have to on purpose stop looking at you and get your eyes on the Lord. On purpose, you have to do that. And that gets hard because your flesh screams and wants a lot of attention. Would you be willing to come in just a moment when we have an invitation and say, Lord, I just need your help. I need your help to trust you that you know what you're doing. I'm not going to have an absence of problems, but you want to use these problems for your glory and your honor, and I can trust you. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would help us, that you would give us grace, that you would give us mercy, and that you would do an amazing work in our life. Lord, we're all made out of flesh, and we all have our weak spots. We all have our bruises. We all have our things that just makes us tired. I'm asking, Lord, that we would be strengthened, not by ourselves, but by your might. That we would be strengthened by your precious spirit. That, Lord, you would help us to on purpose stop looking at our flesh and on purpose look at you and ask for your grace and for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking that you would help people to get victory in their own personal lives. Without a doubt, there are people that are going through things now. They're maybe at the place where in their mind they're in distress. Lord, I'm asking that you would help them to have the courage and bravery to look and trust you. That you know what you're doing and that you're trustworthy. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.